Well, good morning. That is really enthusiastic. Let's try it one more time. Good morning. Okay. Well, somebody knows my name back here. Okay. My name's John Martin. I am part of the team that works at the Opportunity Center for the Homeless. And so I wanted to start today by telling you a little bit of a story. Because in all honesty, I sort of struggled a little bit about what it is that I wanted to talk to today and the underlying message that I wanted to present. But as is typical with so many of us, it comes to you in the most unlikely of times and in the most unlikely of places. And in this particular case, to set the stage, we have my stepson home from school right now, my wife and I, so we have three drivers and we're down to one car. And you don't recognize what that does to you as you sort of work through it. So one morning I decided I was going to take the bus to work. And I don't live too far away from you. So it's about a 2-mile hike to get down to the bus stop on Mesa. I need it. It's called a stomach. Okay, we're going to work on it just a little bit. Catch the bus, and then I take it to downtown, and then I walk about another mile to get to the Opportunity Center for the homeless. So I got down to the bus stop. And I tend to be one of those, and sometimes it looks like I'm zoning out, but I love to watch people. I love to see what's going on around me. And to my left, after I sat down, I saw two evangelists. They had one of those little pull carts, you know, where you can put the pamphlets on the back side of it. And also there sitting with me was a young man that I'm assuming is a university student because he got off at the university after we got on the bus. But the first question I asked myself is, I looked at these two men, fairly well dressed, getting ready to get on the bus, and I don't know where they were going to be heading to. But the question was, are they looking forward to what they're doing that day, or do they see what they're doing as more of a chore? And I never really thought about asking myself that before. So in turn, I started thinking about that a little bit, and then I looked at everybody around me, and because I was able to look, I saw all the cars, you know, people just so busy going from one direction to the next as we sort of work through it. And at that type of morning, probably going to work, dropping off their kids for summer activities, and any number of activities that they could be doing. So I said, you know, I think I've got the start of what I want to say. And so I pulled out my tablet, and it had about a 6% charge, and I frantically typed until it went dead. So then I got off the bus, and I went down to San Jacinto Plaza, made myself a breakfast burrito that morning, and I said, you know, I'm just going to sit down, and I'm going to eat my burrito before I walk into the work. First thing that came to my attention, a young black woman. Hands were really animated. I meant just moving all over the place. And I thought it was a bit strange. And then I realized that behind her, she had a little luggage cart and she had a bag. Later I found out she was homeless and she was looking for help, but it was a very difficult thing to do, and I'm gonna sort of explain that to you here in just a minute. Because in turn, I noticed how animated her hands were. And then, just what limited sign language I know, I realized she was actually talking to herself. Okay? And so the question that I asked myself at that point, that if we had seen her talking out loud, very verbose, very loud, what would have been the first thought that each of us would have had? She's crazy. But by doing what she was doing, there was a young man to her left that was busy on his cell phone, leaning up on the railing, looking out over the four alligators, okay, obviously within the park. I had three women to my right, all fairly young, probably college age, having a wonderful time, just laughing it up, at the same time staring at their cell phones, and I can't still figure that one out, okay, as you sort of work through it, okay. But not one of those four, and myself included, had really taken the time to go up and talk to this woman or attempt to talk to her. We all just went on our own daily business and pretty much ignored her. But then I started looking at our surroundings. Immediately to the left, and you'll probably determine what view I was looking at, I'm looking at the newly renovated Anson Mills building where El Paso Electric used to be. Okay, to my right, I've got the new DoubleTree Hotel with the new Marriott Courtyard that's starting to peek his head up in the corner. I've got the ballpark in the back. And the most noticeable thing that I saw, right behind her, like it was perfectly framed for a photograph, I saw the words, El Paso Community Foundation. It, to me, it was such a stark contrast. Because here, what I'm seeing behind her represents the progress, what we have called this quality of life within the community. But the question that I asked myself at that time, all this work that we've done, what did we do to help her? And to me, that was a very striking question at that point. Okay. A lot of folks have opinions one way or the other about the ballpark, about some of the development. But the reality is, what are we doing to help our neighbors? We are spending hundreds of millions of dollars providing tax breaks to many developers to come into town. And I've taken advantage of it. I love every minute of it. I was born and raised here, and I had the opportunity to meet Mrs. McCann. Her husband was my scoutmaster at this very church. Okay, I was here until I turned 18, and they had to kick me out because of age. Okay, much smaller church at that time, by the way. I'm still trying to figure out where you added in what as we sort of pick it up. But the question still struck true. With all of this progress, all this discussion that we have as a community about progress meeting history, what's more important? I don't think I've heard the question asked through our leadership, whether it be at the city or the county level, that says, what are we doing to help you, or anybody over here, and the young lady that I saw behind the fountain? And so as I continued to sort of think about this lit, I had to go back to the old-fashioned way of writing things down, since my tablet had already lost its charge at that point. But the other thing that it brought to my attention is that I see so many good people out there, many of which are here today, that are helping out. I heard about the work that you're doing with the migrants. I heard about the work that you did yesterday at the Opportunity Center for the Homeless. But are we truly working together as one? And when I say that, as a community, putting aside our differences and saying, you know, we really need to start focusing on people. And it's a very tempting subject to try to stay away from, because in some cases we're afraid of the outcome. Do we hide behind the church? As the scripture indicated, what is faith without work? How do we come together? And it brought to my attention a movie that I saw, and I still have a copy of, called Talk Hard. And to understand why it sort of correlates to that movie, this is a movie, has Christian Slater in it. I think it has a wonderful underlying message. It is not one for families. If you're under the age of 16, don't let them in the room. The language is really tough, okay? But it's about a young man that moves into a new community, and he doesn't like what he sees at school. And so what he does is he starts a pirate radio station. He disguises his voice. So in other words, he's hiding. He wants to say something, but he's not willing to come out and say it. Okay? And so he speaks his mind. He talks. But where is the action? Where is the work that is behind it? And so at first he has 10 listeners. Okay, but soon his message starts ringing a bell, and all of a sudden the entire community, the entire nation is listening in at that point, and it scares the heck out of him. He attempts to run, he attempts to hide, but then he realizes at some point in time that in addition to talking, to use his words, you have to talk hard. You've got to put the action into the words. And let me explain to you why that's so important right now as we look at the Opportunity Center for the Homeless. Come January, we will have been here for 25 continuous years. You'll notice I didn't use the word anniversary, because the question that we should be asking ourselves is, why are we still needed? Okay? If we as a community are effectively working together, we should have a common goal of ending homelessness. So we're still there. We got two incredible founders, both Ray and Lily Tullius, who started this with what little pocket change they had in their pocket. They opened up a warehouse. They welcomed everybody in. Many of you have been there. We have an open door policy. We don't care what your physical or your mental characteristics are. Everybody is welcome. So we do accept the alcoholics, the drug addicts, the physically ill, the physically frail, the mentally ill, the mentally frail, and then they accept me, and that's probably the worst one, okay? But the reality of it is, there's no other organization in El Paso that has that open door policy. And as a direct result, we work with 2,000 unique individuals a year. Okay. On a given night, we work with 350. But you have to understand how that opportunity center was developed. It was never developed to be an emergency shelter. It's a resource center for the homeless. We don't have beds. We have mats on the floor. Because we want them to have the ability to come in whenever they please. We have a full-service health clinic in there. Central San Vicente being one of our two partners that are co-located on site. Oliviani, who helps us with the substance abuse issues. It was always intended to be a form of inreach, which is like outreach, but to develop something that brings the people to you. Then the intent is, when you look at our mission statement, which I'll be the first one to tell you, I think it's a little long-winded, but it does say two key issues. To transition those that can, and to protect those that can't. Transition means to get out of homelessness and into a place of their own. Many of you may not be aware, if you've been to the Opportunity Center, that that's only one of 10 buildings that we now operate that have been developed over 25 years. We have 144 permanent beds for the homeless. And those different programs all focus on different populations. The elderly, 40% of our population is over the age of 50. I am not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we redefine the age of elderly because when you're homeless and in your 50s, you tend to demonstrate the physical and the mental characteristics of somebody 20 years your senior. Every research, every study out there will focus on that. Life on the streets is tough. It is survival. We've got an individual, we nicknamed him Speedy. Yes, we're not politically correct. I'm probably more politically correct today than I am when I go to work, okay? He's confined to a wheelchair. He can't take care of his basic needs. Okay, he can't shower, he can't go to the restroom. We are not a respite care facility. But as law enforcement will tell you in this community, there is no other place to take him. So what we do is we hire the homeless. Over half of our staff have a lived experience with homelessness. They don't have the education that I have, okay, but they sure as heck have the experience. It's what we call recovery through service. So we are, and we don't advertise it, the largest employer of the homeless in El Paso. Man, you should have seen that place during the Clinton-Trump presidential elections. Boy, that was interesting to see that conversation roll out as they work through it. So we protect. Did you realize that last year alone we touched 130 people over the age of 65? How do you transition them into a home of their own? We've got funds that are out there that we can tap into called rapid rehousing. 3 months worth of rent, but then we got to get the man or woman a job so that they can keep their own apartment. So long story short, we need to talk hard and we need to talk even harder. And it's folks like yourselves that need to come forward and say enough is enough. Because here's something that I'm going to mention to you that I don't say often in a public setting. Do you realize that we do all of this without any support from the city or the county? Not one penny of your tax dollars, whether it be sales tax, income tax, property tax, we don't have income tax here, but not one penny goes toward people. Okay? It's all federal money that we get as a community, and then it's allocated and it's administered. But we're expected, and I ran the numbers once, if you put all of us together, us, the Salvation Army, the Rescue Mission, La Posada, and I'm sure I'm going to leave somebody else out, but there's a bunch of good organizations out there, okay? Put them all together, take the money that we get from the federal government, we have enough money to care for the homeless for 4 weeks out of the year. So the burden is on the back of the nonprofits. I'm part of the development team. Sometimes I refer to myself as a chief professional beggar. That's what I am, okay? I beg for money, but I also beg for time and talent. I want to exploit your skills, okay? I want to take advantage of your time. I know that sounds sort of negative, but that's essentially what it is that I do. Because in all honesty, we're in a position now where we're going to have to make some tough decisions here in the near future. And it's time for this community to come together, whether you say it's talk hard or put action behind those words. I suggest that we continue to look at what we're doing. I love being able to go to a baseball game downtown, be able to go to Starbucks, you know, a couple hours beforehand to get a cup of coffee and then walk over to the field. That needs to continue. Stuff that's represented through the Community Foundation, as I talked about that young woman. It's they that are responsible for redeveloping the Plaza Theater. That needs to be done. But when are we going to start talking about the people? Because what if the Opportunity Center closes? Where do those people go? And that is something that we're discussing right now. And it's a really difficult one. As Ray Tullius will tell you, what am I going to do with Speedy? What am I going to do with the three men that are on oxygen? Good. You've seen them, probably within the men's shelter. And so I'm going to sort of wrap up here in just a couple minutes here. I don't want to take up too much time, but the reality of it is, and this is not meant to be a personal statement, but we are failing as a community to care for the most vulnerable of our neighbors. Because it's not even being talked about. So we can't even talk about talking hard at this point until we talk as a community and say it's time to do something. So I ask you, what can you do? And I ask you to think about that just a little bit. And I invite you to talk hard and to talk often. And with that, I'd like to say thank you for the invitation today. It's always incredible to see people like yourselves. So have a wonderful day. Thank you. Okay.